Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
We live in a sexually chaotic world where the standard is to be true to yourself. Young people's sexuality now includes sexual gender confusion, social app hookups, and the elimination of sexual boundaries altogether. And girls seem to be more likely to make sexual decisions based on their culture rather than based on their personal convictions. So Christian singles seeking their true identity in Christ need to be equipped with a bold biblical perspective of sexuality. And that's why I'm so excited about our new series that starts today. My guest is Dr. Julie Slattery. Julie has been on the show before. She is a clinical psychologist, author, speaker, and the president, co-founder of Authentic Intimacy. We're going to be discussing her new book this week. It's titled Sex and the Single Girl, which is a six-week study that empowers single women with a comprehensive understanding of what it means to honor God with her sexuality. In today's podcast, we'll discuss several things. Number one, how the sex conversation has changed over the past 10 and 20 years. Number two, why women have a hard time reconciling sexuality and their walk with God. And number three, why women are experiencing emotional wounds from today's sexual liberation movement. Today's show is titled, A Woman's Worldview on Sexuality. Julie, welcome back to God, Sex, and You.
Thanks so much for having me, Dustin. Always great to be with you.
You know, the last time we talked, we were talking about your other study, The Passion Pursuit, and now you've written a book specifically with sexuality and single women. And what prompted you to write this book? How did it come about?
Well, Dustin, as I've traveled around speaking to groups of women about sexuality, initially I started out with the goal of really ministering to married women, and that's where Passion Pursuit came from. But we open up our conferences to married and single women, and we continually started to hear, you know, how does this apply to me as a single woman? And also married women saying, I wish I would have known these things before I got married. I wish I would have known them, you know, when I was in college and making all my decisions now that I regret. So hearing that often enough, we just really began to say, you know, how do we develop this message and resources to catch women upstream when they're in their late teens and early 20s, and they're really forming the worldview related to sexuality. So that's kind of the heart behind this particular resource.
How has this, just the whole sex conversation, how's it changed over the past 10 and 20 years when you talk to these women?
Well, you know, I think the worldview related to our sexuality has completely changed. I would say that 20 or 30 years ago, particularly if you're talking to a somewhat churched audience, there would be a mutual understanding that God's created sexuality, and that our sexual choices are always going to be spiritually and morally laden. And so the average American would have said 20 years ago, yeah, it's wrong to have sex outside of your marriage. Or yeah, looking at pornography is not a good idea. Whereas today, all that has been kind of thrown by the wayside. And the prevailing philosophy is that sexuality is primarily about your own individual expression, your own identity, and however you want to express that, God is good with that, and everybody else should be too. And I think that message has really impacted those, even from faith communities, who have an awareness of God and a belief in God. And so we see the kind of choices playing out in our society that largely come from that foundation of my sexual choices are mine to make, and no one has a right to speak into them. So we've got to start the conversation really at a worldview level instead of just talking about what's best for you.
Yeah, the worldview level seems to be certainly creeping into our theology. I'm curious, as you talk to these women around the country and around the world at your conferences, what is it that's resonating in their spirits going, you know what, this information, this teaching, this worldview, this secular whatever that I'm being fed from the world and the culture, something's not sitting with me right. What are some of their biggest concerns? What is it specifically? Can they articulate that well to you, that something's not right with this?
Yeah, I think they can in a couple of different ways. You know, first of all, I think that that Christian women in particular have a really hard time reconciling their sexuality with their walk with God. Mm. And at some level, they know that our Christian tradition and the Bible speaks about things, you know, like homosexuality, speaks about things like premarital sex being wrong. But the prevailing culture is saying there's nothing wrong with it. And so women that really have a heart to want to please God have this tension of, I'm not sure which is right. I'm really confused about this. But then the more personal aspect of it is that they're experiencing painful consequences from acting out of the world's philosophy of sex. And Dustin, I'm sure that you know this as you work with men and women. In particular, women are bearing the larger brunt of the brokenness related to sexuality in our culture. And mm-hmm. it doesn't mean that it's not affecting men. It absolutely is. But all we have to do is even look at the recent headlines of what's been going on in corporations and in politics. And women are the ones that are being viewed as sex objects and treated that way. They're the ones that feel like they need to give their body just for even a few weeks of companionship. And then the psychology and the medical research will show us that the end result of this for women is really like emotional issues like depression, suicidal thought, low self-esteem. And so women are really bearing a lot of these wounds that are coming from believing this message of sexual freedom from our culture.
What do you think God is doing with these scandals that we're reading about in the headlines today?
Well, I think he's doing what he promised to do, which is to bring things to light. And Dustin, we know that at the end of time, everything is going to come to light, which is, you know, in some ways reassuring that justice will be done. It's also a scary thing because we all know that there are things that we've done that we're ashamed of, mm-hmm. but I think that God is being gracious in showing us what's really happening. And unfortunately, I think that most people don't connect the dots. You know, they don't realize that when we promote things like pornography and we promote the idea that you should be free to have sex with anybody you want, the end result is going to be things like sexual exploitation, sexual harassment, and even sex trafficking. So I see all this hopefully as a wake-up call that we do need to have the larger conversation that the messages we believe about sexuality has consequences.
Yeah, and they've got lots of consequences. It just seems like God is opening up the floodgates here to reveal lots of things. It was an interesting conversation that I had with my men last week on this, and it'll be interesting to see what comes out of this. I remember the whole conversation with the vice president and how he wouldn't have a dinner with another woman. Mm-hmm. And now we see these scandals, and now we can see the wisdom, the biblical wisdom that he was trying to share with the country in that. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because you're having conversations with your men and I'm having conversations about this with my women. And one of the interesting things about particularly this whole conversation around Mike Pence and his standards, a lot of women were offended by mm-hmm. Mike Pence's stand because they were saying, you should view me as gender neutral. You know, the fact that a man can't control himself enough to be in a room alone with me, you know, is just, you know, really in and of itself a form of harassment. But what I think they weren't taking into consideration, and this is what we keep trying to dumb down in our culture, is that men and women are different. And they're different sexually, and women have different vulnerabilities than men do sexually. And that actually it's a form of great respect for a man to say, I value women so much, including my wife and my daughters. I value the women I work with so much that I never would want to put them in a position where they would at all even think they'd be threatened or think that I would be considering them that way. So I think we need to continue to have conversations and go back to the fact that we can't erase the fact that we're male and female. We can't erase the fact that we're sexual people. And we also can't erase the fact that we're sinful people and that, you know, the parameters that are put in place and that have been put in place in the past by society are in some ways a very good thing. And as we let those fall, I mean, just think about university campuses that say, hey, for everybody to be equal means all dorms are male and female, you know, that just you can share bathrooms and showers. You know, that's just foolishness. If this is what we're seeing happen in the corporate world, what do you think is happening with a bunch of 18 and 19 year olds who don't have appropriate boundaries put in place to protect them?
The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1:18, "The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction, but we who are being saved, we know it's the very power of God. As the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent." So where does this leave the philosophers and the scholars and the world's most brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish, since God, in his wisdom, he saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom. He has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. Wow. Have you ever noticed that God's word is unapologetically contrary to what the world has to say about sex? Have you also noticed that we as the church, we try to find a middle ground between the two? And that doesn't work so well, does it? But nevertheless, we try and appease somehow what the world wants to hear. And when we don't satisfy them, well, the world calls us foolish with our strict and pious standards. And yet God calls his wisdom truth. Jesus said, you can't have two masters. You can't serve God and serve yourself. You're going to hate one and you're going to serve the other. And the same is also true about sex, isn't it? You can't have two lovers either. Well, tomorrow we're going to continue our conversation on worldview and sexuality with Dr. Julie Slattery and her new book, Sex and the Single Girl. Well, Merry Christmas to you and your family and your church and your loved ones and your friends. Our Savior is born today. At least we celebrate that day today. And just what a glorious day this is. And I do wish you and your family the very, very best. Wrapping the show up today, once again, just want to encourage you with this time of year and all the ministries. Just reminding you to make a year-end donation. Please consider the Ministry of God, Sex, and You. We are a tax-deductible ministry, and by God's grace, you're listening. And we're also reaching 80 countries around the world. And our goal, our prayer for 2018 is to reach the other 80. So if you'd like to become a Purity partner with us, you can certainly do that. Visit the website at dustindaniels.org. Click on Give, and you can do that for $1 a day. Thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at Purity Pastor, and you can also email me those questions once again at the website, dustindaniels.org. Jesus said in Matthew 5:8, he said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for the pure in heart, those people are going to see God." He's saying they're going to see me. I pray that you walk worthy today, my friend, on this Christmas day as you cling to your family, cling to your friends, and most of all, you cling to Jesus. I love you, and I look forward to our time again tomorrow.